Okay, so we have one problem left here in the Riva. So the last problem in the Riva is Sefiras HaOmer, counting the Omer. Okay, so to count the Omer, you have, basically you count every night of the count from Pesach till Shavuos, you count the Omer. And you can't use a shliach to do it for you. Again, we're learning that they're on that way. You have to count yourself. And so therefore you should say le. Right? Because le is when you can't use a shliach. You do it before the count, right? So why don't you say le? But we don't. You say al sfiras omer. On counting. So why? So the Riva answers, or the Rosh answers for the Riva, because since the what happens is that you have a shul, and in shul, the shatz, right, the shliach tzibor, the guy, the chazan, he makes the bracha to count for those who don't know how to make a bracha, right? He says it. No, that's not... I guess we do that. I don't really know what we do. I mean, but we do it.
Couldn't say a bracha anymore.
Yeah, I guess. Right. Exactly. Like people who can't make the bracha anymore, let's say.
Not that they don't know how.
Right. That's not exactly his case, but whatever. I mean, but that's what we have. The guy makes the bracha, so in theory, that bracha is going to go for everybody.
Right.
People don't know how. So since he's making the bracha, I guess that's why he got started. People didn't know how to do it, so he's making the bracha for the people that don't know how to make the bracha. And then I guess they're going to count because the mitzvah is to count. So you can't have someone else count for you. You have to count for yourself.
Right.
But at least the bracha, so they had the minhag that the chazan would make the bracha for everybody. So since he was making the bracha for everybody, therefore you say al. But our question is, so what? Who cares? Bottom line is, the mitzvah is a mitzvah which you can do is through a shliach, and you're not doing it through a shliach. Now it's true the chazan is making the bracha for you, but you're not making the bracha on the bracha, you're making the bracha on the mitzvah. And the mitzvah could only be done by you and is being done by you. So who cares that he's saying the bracha for you? But let him say le, right? Le spar ha'omer, whatever. And that will be the bracha for you, and then you'll count. So what? It's like he's trying to address it, but it's on the surface, it's not clear what he's even saying. How does this address the problem? So it's funny the way he says it. By spirit, since the chazan, we have minhag, the chazan does it. Makes the bracha for those who don't want to make the bracha. Therefore, we say al. He says the kachem bracha mal. Therefore,
that's another funny thing.
Okay, so let me go with what Ken's saying. Right? Maybe a lot. I think there's one more thing you have to say, but namely like this: is you could ask a question. When someone makes a bracha for me, okay, this is an old question. Okay, and maybe you could go both ways on it, but I think you're going to have to say that the Rosh or the Riva is going one way. But if someone makes a bracha for me, is it like I said the bracha? Right? Is it like I said the bracha? It's now my bracha? Right? Shemei Kona, right? That's what it means. Shemei Kona means hearing is like saying. Okay, that's Shomei Kona. Hearing is like saying. So if you hear a bracha, and you're listening and intending for it to be your bracha, so it's as if you said it. So does it literally mean it's as if you said it? Okay, it's your bracha? It's like you said it? Or does it mean that it... No, he said it. You didn't say bracha. He said a bracha. But his bracha is ola for you. Is it that since you're thinking about his bracha, and you're listening to it, and having intent for it, and saying amen, so therefore it's like... it suffices for your chiyuv with your chiyuv bracha. It's like a secondary form of doing the bracha. It's you could either say bracha on your own, or you could be mitzarif to his bracha. You could attach yourself, join on to his bracha as a listener. There's like we said, by communication. There's an idea of speaking, there's an idea of being a listener of a communication. So an idea is, in Shemei Kona, it doesn't mean it's as if you said it, because you didn't say it. It's not a magical way of saying it. What it means is that you're involved in the bracha. There's a secondary involvement in his bracha. So it's his bracha, it's not your bracha, but through your paying attention to it and answering amen to it, it has halachically counts as if you said it. It fulfills your obligation to say the bracha. But it doesn't, you didn't actually say it, it's not your bracha, it's still, if I ask you whose bracha is it? It's his bracha. Right? If you would say Shemeich Onu means it's literally like you're saying it, then it's your bracha. It's like you have 100 brachas going on at the same time. But which is hard to understand how that would work. But I'm not going to go that way, so I don't have to. I'm going to say the premise in the Riva here, Shemeich Onu does not mean that it's your bracha. And again, clear, simply because if it were, it's as if you said the bracha, then you'd have a shul full of 100 people saying a bracha. So now, why shouldn't they say leh? Because they're saying the bracha and they're doing sfira, and what's the difference? So if it weren't actually they're saying it, then there's nowhere to move. But I'm saying if you say that it's his bracha and it just counts for them, now we could start talking. I mean, I guess the way you would have said the other way, the first way, I was saying, is like it has a din. Listening halachically has a status of speaking. Halachically has a din of onah. Shomeach onah. Means even though you're not really saying it, but if there's words being said by him and you're intentful to them, so then halachically that has a din of amira. There's a halacha status of saying it. Which is positing something. It's positing. It's not, it's being, it really is. Like you're saying it. Has that status. I'll have to consider it like you said it. That's something harder to say. But suppose the other way is, it doesn't mean it's like you really said it, but no, it's that you could piggyback onto his bracha through being a listener of his bracha, but it's his bracha. Okay, so if you take this premise, which I think is not so hard, it's an easier way to go, I think. Premise is, again, that it's he's making the bracha, but you're piggybacking onto his bracha. So now then I think you have to say one other thing, which is, I think this is what Ken was saying, or didn't want to say, but was saying, that like we said, like le implies the future. Because le, you're saying, is who commanded us to do blank. Here you go, blank. It's like you're creating, there's le creates, there's a unit of the God commanded me to eat matzah, eat matzah. God means to blow shofar, to your shofar, here's the action. And it, like, it's not just that it implies the future, but when you say leh, see, when you say al, it commands on an institution. So it's kind of generic. It lends itself to me or shliach. It's a looser kind of a language. But when you commanded me to do this, then you do it. That's the idea of leh implying the future. That there's a, by leh and the bracha, there's a direct, like a unit being created between the le and the action which follows. Okay? So if you say, who commanded us to do sefira, so then basically, he commanded us to do sefira, then he counts sefira, but everybody else's mitzvah, so to speak, doesn't, the bracha, since this bracha is counting for everybody else, right, the whole shul, now, he's saying a bracha, which, so to speak, relates directly to this action, which he's making the bracha, is going to follow up on his, and then their actions are not, so to speak, the praise doesn't relate to their actions. Okay? Because, again, it's his bracha. So it's not, again, if you said it was their bracha, then it would. Because it's like they're saying it, and then they do an action. But it's his action, so he's doing the thing, he's making the bracha, and then his action is following up. His action is coming on the heels of it, and therefore it's not going to suffice, because it's going to go for both. It's going to count. In other words, his bracha is going to, his bracha is going to go on their action, on his action, but it can't create a combo, like a unit, his bracha and their actions. But rather, if he says Al, who commanded us on Sefira Salomer, so then Azir Zomer is a looser, is a more generic thing, and that will be able to go on everything. On the institution, doesn't point directly to an action which follows. So therefore, normally, that's fine. You might as well point to the action. Who cares? It's not a factor usually in saying Al or Leh, because you do it right before you do the mitzvah, and therefore you say Al, who really cares? But when you're doing an action which is going on other, brach which is going on other people's actions, you don't want to use the language of Leh. Because Leh points directly to an action, and you don't want to do that by other people's, because it's going to point to the action of the person who's saying it, not to the person, to the other people. But again, this would only work if you said that it's it's his bracha. If you were to say it's as if they're saying it, then you wouldn't have this problem. It could be, I don't know if he means it would not work, but he's saying is that since the minhag is, since this is the way which it's done, which people are doing it, so therefore Chazal or Masad didn't set up, or therefore we don't say that, we say al, because that's the way it's always done. But so it's not the right choice of words to use if that's, you know, if this is the way we're doing it. I mean, I don't know if he's saying if we did it, it wouldn't work, it's just that it doesn't have the proper reference. I mean, but that's why it could be his knowing. He says that it's contingent on what people do. If people were doing it the other way, then we would have done it the other way. But here's the thing, is I don't think that there was like set in stone from Anshei Knesset Gedolah, people who set up all the brachas, exactly what language to say, because then it wouldn't seem you'd have all these machlokes and all these questions. But it seems like they set up a bracha on Dios Lev, on this, on that, and all these things, and then it's up to the, you know, you have to use Chachma and figure out the proper way to formulate it, to say it. So I don't know if these things have to be fixed. For instance, if it used to be that everyone was saying Svira on their own, so it could be the Riva would say it started out as Le. But then when the custom became that everyone, and this is the way it always took place, there were a lot of people that didn't know, so then they adopted the minhag changed to say Al. Doesn't seem like these things are like fixed as, you know, fixed in stone. It could be they lend themselves to depending on the circumstances. I mean, definitely, you know, definitely the Ram has things like that. Like the father or the son, the father does it, by Mila it changes. I mean, the brachos, it doesn't seem like these things are have to be fixed. Yeah, it's true, it's a good point. I mean, that is interesting, but it's true, is that by this logic, any time you would have this, it would have you do that. Like, I don't know, they'll say when you're Hanukkah nowadays. I don't know what people do either. I don't know, but usually I guess everyone makes the bracha with them, right? When the whole family lights, they all sing together, right? But I mean, I guess if you had a bracha, a mitzvah that was like this, like let's say matzah. I don't know, what do we do by matzah? Does everyone make the bracha as matzah, or are we motzi? I don't know, I guess it would depend on what you do. But I don't know if he's saying in a case-by-case you do it. It could just be saying it's like, it could be these things go by, I mean, that's a low plug thing, is you don't want to have, you know, every guy doing a different thing, even according to the Riva at least. So, but it could be like, this is what the world, the Olam, the Kal Yisrael at large, was, you know, made this minhag. I mean, it's hard to know. I mean, Yehuda, it could be that when they set up the bracha of Sphere, they knew people wouldn't do it. I mean, I don't know, it's hard to know exactly the history of the thing. But bottom line is, this is the minhag of what's happening, and therefore this is what Kol we do. We say, you know. So this brings us to the Rambam. Okay, so this ends the Ran. I mean, the Rosh. And now we got the Rambam. So we're doing the Rambam. Okay, so we're doing the Ashid of the Rambam. So the Rambam is in Perek Hilchos Brachos, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Yud Aleph. Okay? Yud Aleph through Tetzvav, really. It's about 4 or 5 halachas. So, again, my goal today is to just go through some problems. To go through all the five, read through the Rambams, and try to bring up some problems. Okay, and again, our goal here is to get the Rambam's theory. Okay, he talks a little bit. Okay? So Yud Aleph. Kol Ha'osa Mitzvah. Anyone does a mitzvah, bein shayis achova alav, bein shayin achova, whether it's obligatory or not. Okay, whether it's an obligation or not. Im asa osa la'atzmo, v'varech la'asos. If you do it for yourself, you make la'asos, la, with a lamed. Asa osa la'cherem, if you do it for somebody else, v'varech al ha'asiyah. You make al. Okay? You make al.
That would seem to be
one thing, before we go further. So, I mean, the Rambam says whether it's a chova, an obligation, or whether it's not an obligation. So what's he talking about? So if you look back in the Yud Aleph Beis, he lays down these categories. As he classifies the mitzvahs by these two classes. He says, Yesh mitzvahs aseh she'adam chayiv l'shtadel l'irdov. Achiyasa. So there are mitzvahs, positive commandments, a person is obligated to run after, to really work, to run after, to make sure he does it, to pursue. You know, tefillin, sukkah, lulav, shofar, right? Those you must do. Ve'elu heina nekron chova. Those are obligations. Those are called chova, obligation. You're absolutely, under all circumstances, obligated to do it. There's no way on sukkahs you're not going to have to take a lulav. Okay? Ve'yesh mitzvah she'enu chova. And then there are other mitzvahs which are not an obligation. Aladomen l'rishos. But they're similar to a optional. They're the kind of optional. Okay, similar. Somebody says like doesn't call them optional, but they're kind of optional. You go on mezuzah, like a mezuzah, umaka, and a fence on your roof. One's obviously put a fence on the roof so that no one falls off. You're not obligated to buy a house or to live in a house that had that in order to put up a mezuzah. If you want to live in a tent your whole life, of a spina or on a boat, yasha, you could. Right? V'chein yavlo l'bayis yasha, you have to build a house in order to put a fence on the roof. Right? It's just that if, in fact, you have a house, so then you have to put up a mezuzah, put up a makah, a fence. So they're not chova, they're not obligatory, and that's what means they're domen l'chova, because they become domen l'rishas, because they're not absolutely optional, because if you have a house, they're not optional. Once you have a house, they're mandatory. But they're not intrinsically mandatory, they're conditional. They depend upon a certain condition. The condition which is machayiv in them, which sets up the obligation, is the owning a house, living in a house, whatever. Right? But as opposed to a sukkah, there's no condition, it's just the 15th that obligates you to sit in the sukkah no matter what. Okay, so if he's calling chova, means those things which are mandatory, absolutely mandatory, and ena chova is things which are not absolutely mandatory, but only mandatory in certain conditions. Okay? So what I'm saying here, don't think that matters vis-a-vis bracha. It says all brachos, all mitzvahs, whether they're obligation, whether they're chova or they're not chova, okay, obligatory or not obligatory, if you do them for yourself, you say la'asa'la. If you do it for somebody else, you say al. So far it sounds like a papi, actually. As a papi said, right? By Mila, right? It seems that way, right? That means if you do it for yourself, you do it for somebody else.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's forget that problem, okay?
Right, because
the Gemara doesn't. The Gemara doesn't paskin. Well, the Gemara does. The paskin's veil for al. That's a little bit of a problem. I know. I'm not going to. Fine, so that's what's halachos. So it sounds very simple, right? I mean, this is his theory. This is his theory, right here. Okay? Unfortunately, it gets a little more complicated, but this is his theory. I mean, we have to understand the concept and all that, but fine, that's his theory. Okay, so again, Yud Aleph seems to be his main, you know, he's the late, because you have to do Ketzad. Ketzad means house. So it means he set down his theory. Okay. Simple. Ketzad. Lavash tefillin, you put on tefillin, v'arach l'haniach.
Can you say it
started with base? Ketzad. Lavash tefillin, v'arach l'haniach tefillin. So you put on tefillin, you make l'haniach tefillin, because you're doing it for yourself, you're not doing it for somebody else. By the way, on the Shel Rosh, the Rambam says al mitzvahs. Also. Okay, so put that aside, but just to keep in mind, even though you're doing it for yourself, you're not doing it for somebody else, fine. Nisatev b'tzitzis, if you put on tzitzis, mevarech lehisatev v'lamed, yasha b'sukkah, you sit in the sukkah, mevarech leshev b'sukkah, because you're doing it for yourself, lamed, v'cheinu mevarech lehadlik ner Shabbos, because you're doing it for yourself, lighting candle for Shabbos, v'ligmar sahalal, and basically saying halal, you're doing it for yourself. If you put up a mezuzah on your house, le, for yourself, for your own house, you put up a fence. That's a good question why he elaborates all bracha there, whatever. La, if you set aside chumos ma'isros for yourself, tithe for yourself, le hafresh, la, lamid ma'les bino, you circumcise your son, la mo'les aben, right? La. Shachat, Pischa, V'chagigasa, if you slaughter your Karban Pesach or Karban Chagiga, you sacrifice, Mevarech Lishcha, La, the Lamed. So basically it's a whole laundry list of things, but they're all the same idea, the mitzvahs that you're doing for yourself.
Funny to do that.
Yeah, funny. But, yeah, I guess it's funny, but we'll see. I mean, there are enough problems, you know, whatever, let's not deal with that kind of problem. Okay? Yud Gimel. Halacha Yud Gimel. Avol, now he's going to give in this, he's going to give the other ones. The other way, Avalim kavam zelach erem. It's very explicit. If you do set, put up a mezuzah for somebody else, v'rach alach bias mezuzah, because now you're not doing it for yourself, you're doing it for somebody else. So you say al. Also lahem maka. If you make you put up a fence for them, v'varech. You good? V'varech al asiyas maka. On making a fence, if for some truma, you tithe for them, v'rach al for truma. Right? Mal as ben chavero, if you circumcise your son's friend's son. Right? Mevarech al mila. V'chein kol kiyatzibayil. Okay, same thing. Right? So far so good. This is nothing difficult, except we need a svara, yeah. You only got caught? Okay, go on. Okay, so that's the theory, basically. So again, the basic theory, just gives you a lot of examples. The basic theory is if you're doing it for yourself, you say leh. If you're doing theory for somebody else, you say al. So far so good. Okay? In a certain sense, it makes sense, right? Le, God commands to do blank. I'm doing blank, right? I'll not doing what he commanded. It's for somebody else, so, right?
On the institution.
Something like that, right? On the institution, whatever. That's fine, no problems. Okay, here's where it gets a little tricky. Okay, yadalad. Halacha yadalad. Asa ha-mitzvah lo u-la-achirim ke-achad. You do a mitzvah both for yourself and for somebody else. So this is already tricky, right? Because the rule is if you do it for yourself, you say le. If you do it for somebody else, you say al. So what would you think?
Le.
Le, because you do it for yourself. So who cares if you throw somebody else in? Big deal, right? Right? You're still doing it for yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. Im hoisa mitzvah she'ina chova. If it's a mitzvah which is not obligatory. Right? Again, not like one of those non-obligatory mitzvahs or that kind of thing. Varach al ha'asiya. Then you say, on. Then you say, al. Right? Lefikach hu mevarach al mitzvahs erev. Therefore, you say, on the mitzvah of erev. If you set up an erev, which is a mitzvah for other you and for other people, and it's not an obligation. If you don't want to, you don't have to. Okay? It's not clear what kind of Erev. There are really three kinds of Erev. Erev Chatzeros, Erev Tavshilin, and Erev Tchumen. Okay? Which we'll get to in time, due time. But let's, he's vague here, so let's keep it vague.
Does it matter if it's already
No. What does it mean? Lefika chumbar almetz erev. When? When you're making it, when you're doing it for yourself and for others, or therefore you always say almetz erev.
See, that way it seems like he's giving you an application of
this. Okay, fine. Well, let's keep it simple. I'll forget it. Okay, we'll get to the details. But you understand the idea is if it's a mitzvah which is for you and for others, and it's obligatory, it's optional. It's ein chova. So then you say al. Hoysa chova. But if it's a mandatory, you must do it. And you intend to satisfy your own, to remove yourself from your obligation, satisfy your obligation, and to also to satisfy other people, then you say, la. Therefore, you make the bracha to hear the sound of the shofar. Okay, two, la. Because then that's mandatory, you must hear the shofar. And therefore you say le, even though you make it for you and for others. But by Erev, since you're doing it for you and for others and it's not mandatory, therefore you say al. So this is difficult, right? I mean, what's the difference? Well, what's the sense to this? It's not so much, why should this be? Not there's a problem per se, what sense does this make? Because you just told me that in terms of a mitzvah, you make bracha whether something is mandatory or not mandatory. And if you do it for yourself, you say le, and if you do it for somebody else, you say al. Now, who cares if you do it? If you do it for both of you, so you should consider that either to say that's as if you're doing it for yourself, or you could say you consider that you're doing it for somebody else. Why should whether or not it's mandatory have anything to do with that? Right? What does the mandatoriness of the mitzvah have anything to do with how you should decide when you're doing it for you and for others? It seems like a totally irrelevant factor. Why is this the resolution? I mean, this isn't so much a problem, you see, as far as what's right. The sense of this thing, right? Which is a very good, solid question, right? Solid question, seems doable, but it seems to get down to his theory, right? I mean, presumably this, again, if you just had the first his theory, you know, it's kind of, you could start making things up, but this is going to kind of force you to really help, you know, it's like a test, an experiment, which is going to tell you whether you understand his theory, because this has to fit into his theory somehow. Tesvav. Okay, but I would work on this problem first. I mean, Tesvav is, so to speak, you could almost say the halacha is a bunch of exceptions. Okay? But, I mean, you could work on this, the first four halachas, I think, are kind of their own thing, you know? Okay. Noto es halulav. If you take a lulav, mavar al antios lulav. You say al. Even though you're doing it for yourself, say al. Shekivan shekbiyu yotze dechovasa. Because once you pick it up, you already fulfill your obligation. And therefore, past tense, right? The mitzvah is referred to live versus the future, so you can't say le. So you say al. Fine. So that's an exception that everybody has. That's from the Gemara. Aval im birach kodem shiito, but if you make the bracha before you take the lulav, which the Rambam holds you could do, mevarech litol as lulav, then you'll say le. Okay, again, the Rambam does not care about uniformity. I mean, the Rambam does not have any low plug in the uniformity. It's totally up in the air. You do it, you know, you do it each circumstance dictates. Okay, so, Kimo, Leishev Asukah. Just like, before you sit in the Sukah, you say, Leishev. Funny altogether, what do you have to say after?
Yeah.
We cannot tell Lamed, and from here you learn out, Shem Mevarech Achar Sha'asa, the low bracha, that if you do a mitzvah, if you do a bracha, if you make the bracha after you do the mitzvah without having made a bracha, mevarech al asiyah. Then you say al. Okay, so you say al. All right. So this is the one rule, that if you do the bracha,
it's important you have another rule.
Another rule is that if you do it afterwards, then you make al. All right. So what would you say, for instance, if you forget to put on your talis, and you forgot to make the bracha,
al,
and you make the bracha while it's still on, so you say al, right?
Right.
Okay, so look at this. So look at halacha hay. Okay. Osa, I know I'm jumping, but that's fine. I'm allowed to jump. Osa mitzvah v'lo birech. So if you did a mitzvah and you didn't make a bracha, right? So
yep.
The question is, could you make a bracha afterwards? In mitzvah she'adayin asiyasa kayames, if it's a mitzvah which the doing is still intact, still around, the brother mitzvah is still going on, mevarich achar asiyah, then you could make the bracha afterwards. V'im davar she'avar hu, ein mevarich, but if it's history, it's all over, so then it's too late, you can't make a bracha anymore. What do you make the bracha on? There's nothing to make the bracha on, it's all over. Ketzah. How so? Harish nesadeh betzitzis. You put on tzitzis. Oh, shalavash tefillin, or you wear tefillin. Oh, shiyashav v'sukkah. In the sukkah. So those keep going, right? Those clearly, those are mitzvahs which aren't history. They keep going. V'lo birech t'chila, and you make a bracha. Chozer mevarech asher sanzatev. You make a bracha afterwards. Asher k'dishan v'mitzosav v'tzivanu lehisatev b'tzitzas. Le, right? Le, even though it's after you did it, you're saying le. V'chein mevarech achar shalav asher shekir sanzivanu lehanyach t'felen. V'chein asher shekir sanzivanu lehishay v'sukkah v'chein yazvelus. You say le. Right, and he says the bracha openly, and he's quoting the text. Asher k'dishanu mitzosav v'tzivanu lehishay v'sukkah. Right, I mean, so this is one contradiction, right?
Wow.
It's a problem. It's one contradiction, right? And it's also okay. Let's keep going. Aval hachavav. Avalim shachad lo bracha. Let's say you slaughter an animal without making the bracha. Ein achozer achashchita, because it's over, right? After you slaughter, it's all over. The slaughtering is done. Mevarach asher k'dishanu al hashchita. You can't do it. It's all over. It's history. Or if you cover the blood of an animal, which is a mitzvah, or if you take tithe, or you go on the mikvah, you immerse without a bracha. Too late, it's history. But there goes your purity, your tahara svara, right? After you go on the mikvah, that's it, it's history.
Yeah, I was going to say, wasn't that our svara?
So you could ask a question. You could ask a question. So what about lulav? What about lulav? How do you make a bracha? Was lulav? Which one's lulav like? Which one's lulav like? Is it still? Are you still doing it, or are you not still doing it?
They didn't do anything yet.
No, if you pick it up, he says. If you, it is before you pick it up, you say le. If it's after you pick it up,
no, he says it's in your hand.
If you already picked it up, then you already fulfilled the mitzvah. So since you already fulfilled the mitzvah, so now you have to say al. Past tense. Right? If it's before you do it, then you say left, future tense. So I'm saying is, which one would do this fit into? If you pick up the lulav, are you still, is the mitzvah still going on, or is the mitzvah over?
Yeah, it's still going on. Isn't there a kim of
Okay, so you say there's a kim of shaking it. Okay, so that's true. So we'll get to that. Okay, so we'll get to that. But on the surface, it may have something to do with that. Yeah. So maybe you'll argue, so maybe it's fine. So the lulav problem, fine. So you can say lulav, you'll say, well, you're still doing it because you're still holding the thing, right? Still doing it, right? Fine. So you could say that. I don't know if I'll say that. So now, but what about the other problem? The other problem is that the Rambam says that if you do a mitzvah bracha after the mitzvah, so then you say al. So then what do you mean by tzitzis? Tzitzis is not, it's after. So maybe you'll argue, well, even though it's after, but you're still doing it. You're still doing it. So it's true you did that one, but you're making the le on the one that you're still doing, something like that. Still doing it. But if you say that, then by lulav also, so then say you're still doing it.
Right.
So and then say left. Yeah. You say lo is in the past.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, you just have to resolve all these things. So this is one area. Again, we're going to take up this area. So I'm saying, when we get to this area, so I guess after we do the, again, after we do the Adal area, this is the next area. It's like to figure out this thing is his rule about the past. And in the past, this first part about this Vav involves these few halachos here, Hay and Vav. Okay? Okay, fine. Good. So let's go further back to our halacha. Okay, so this is the first exception here to his rule. Is the lulav rule the past future deal? Okay. Now he says like this. Aval. What does aval mean?
Back in the middle of Tesvav.
Yeah, back in the middle of Tesvav. So again, if you begin Tesvav, you take the lulav afterwards. You say al, because this is your general rule that if you do it after you do the mitzvah, you say al, right? Do it after you do the mitzvah, you say al. Aval means, but. It's qualifying, but. Okay, it's not clear where this is going on. Aval netilas yadayim v'shchita, but when you wash your hands or when you slaughter, so those are mitzvahs which you do for yourself, right? Let's say you do them for yourself. So in theory, you'd say le. But we don't. We say al netilas yadayim al shchita, right? And you do it beforehand. So this is a problem. Why these are kind of exceptions?
You could do it for someone else.
You could, but let's say you don't. Allah doesn't care whether you could do it for somebody else. He cares about, are you doing it for someone else? But if I, well, let's forget about Davos. So he's saying, so in Tis Daim and Shchita, in theory, if you do it for yourself, you should say Al. Right? If you do it for yourself, you should say Le. Right, but we don't.
Right.
And Ram doesn't. He says, Hol ukidivrei harashoshim, since they are like matters, optional matters, even if you do it for yourself, okay, you make the bracha al hashchita, the al kisay adam, and on covering the blood, the al netilas yadayim, and on washing your hands. So now he has a new rule. Even though he previously said by mitzvah which is chova, an obligation or not an obligation,
right.
But here there's a third category. There's obligation, not obligation. And then things that are like rishus. Even though when he said not obligation earlier, he kind of said they're like rishus, they're like optional. But here there's a new thing. Apparently there's a category. These are things which are like a like optional. Okay, they're like matters of like optional matters.
What are the three? I don't understand.
The three. Well, it's funny. He started with two and then he became three very quickly. But it's washing your hands. If, for instance, if you don't want to eat, you don't have to wash your hands.
Right.
If you don't want meat, you don't have to slaughter. Oh, I don't know, but he calls them kedivrei rishas. They're less than not chova.
First
in his class of mitzvahs, which were not chova, rechova not chova, he didn't have mitzvahs. He didn't have netilas yadayim, washing hands, and he didn't have slaughtering shchita either.
Why would you just include that in the category?
Apparently, it's not the same category.
Where do you see that from?
Well, because he's saying is the reason why you always say al on these is because they're like rishas, but. But let's say a mezuzah. Mezuzah, if you do for yourself, you say le. Right? If you put a mezuzah for yourself, you say le. The eye is not chova, it doesn't matter. Whether it's chova or ain't chova, that's the rule. That's what he said in Yod
Aleph. When he defined ain't chova.
I know, when he defined the category of a non chova, he defined it as domin l'rishos, similar to optional. So now he's saying, is the reason why these, you don't say le, is because they're kind of, they're like divrei rishos. They're like matters of optional. So yeah, but that's isn't that in a chova? I mean, I'm just saying it must be there's a third category here. But what's the sense of this third category? And who cares? They're like optional. What is it, since when did that become? Who
that
cares?
Description of domino was just to one of them.
Right.
And just call one of them in a chova. Yeah.
Right. Correct. Okay. And also, he just added in kisay dam here. Kisay dam is halacha. If you slaughter an animal, certain types of animals, birds or wild animals, so then there's blood. You're obligated.
Not a
sheep? No. Not by behemoth. So then you're obligated, 100%. It's 100, right? Yehuda, you're doing that, right? It's not by behemah, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So so then the halacha is, it's 100% obligation. You have to cover the blood. It's not really a rishas. It's 100% an obligation. But you don't have to be slaughtering. That's true, but you don't have to have a house either. You know what I mean? Like, I can understand shchita. Really, there's nothing which makes you slaughter. You don't have to ever slaughter. But once you slaughter, you have to do tikkun adam. And once you have a house, you have to put on a mezuzah. Right? So, I mean, well, how does Kisei throw in there? And it's also funny, I mean, why didn't he just say, Tirz Adayim is Shechita with Kisei Dam? It's like he says, Tirz Adayim and Shechita are like Yisei'al. Oh, and therefore Yisei'al, Shechita and Kisei Dam and Tirz Adayim. He threw in Kisei Dam in the middle there. I mean, it's certainly somehow related to Shechita, but it's funny. I mean, so this is the question, is what's the sense to this exception, first of all? This is another exception. I mean, that's why I call it Tesvav, the halacha of exceptions. First exception is the past and future. Right? The middle one is the exception of if it's like a rishos, like optional, which you have to explain the sense to that. What's the sense to it, and why is that different than Eina Chova? Right? And what's the Kisle problem is a problem. And now... And the contradiction between in the first one, the Owls and the past and future part.
That
yeah, that's the first part of Tesvav, right? And now you have the third part of Tesvav. The Chain, okay, and this is part of the problem, is you'll say, you'll tell me about it. The Chain who Mavarech Albi or Chametz. As the Gemara concludes, you say Albi or Chametz. Right, that's a problem for the Rambam also. Because if you do be your Chametz, if you search your house for yourself, so according to Rambam, you should say Le.
You have to do it.
You have to do it. You have to do it if you have a house. Right?
Yeah.
Right? But it doesn't matter if you have to do it anyways. But right, whatever.
Right, okay, right.
Right? So he says, well, why do you tell your chametz? Bein sheba l'gatz, bein sheba l'chayim. Whether it's for yourself or for somebody else. Why? Shema'itz she'gamar b'libo levatel nasis mitzvah sabir. Kodem she'yev b'lem. Kamoshi yisparab m'gama. Because at the moment that you decide that you have conclusive mindset, conclusive das, conclusive intent to nullify your chametz, then the mitzvah of bior, of removing chametz, is really complete. Okay? And the bedika is just like the searching it out is just like a derabanan. Okay? It's just something. It's some added thing. That really, technically, the mitzvah is complete once you conclude, because the problem is you didn't actually do bittul, you do bittul later. You nullify it later. What he's saying is this, the moment you have in your mind conclusive das, conclusive intent to nullify it, then the mitzvah is complete. Okay, and then when you're doing bedika, right, it's like you already did it. And therefore what? Therefore what? Right, how do they explain what we say? So you could say, oh, because the bracha is now going on the past. You could say, right? It's going on the past, because you already fulfilled the mitzvah.
When did you have this das?
Before you did v'dika.
Before you did the bracha, though?
Well, that's a problem. I mean, I guess you'll say, you have to say before, I guess before you made the bracha. Yeah, right when you think, I'm ready to do v'dika, so that means you're ready to, right? So you're ready to knock everything out. You know, right? You're searching it out. It means that's it. I gave up on all the stuff.
Right.
So now I have a mind that it's done. So now I fill the mitzvah. But the mitzvah is on bedika, isn't it? I mean, the mitzvah isn't on the mindset. If you make the mindset, the mitzvah is on a maisa. The bracha. Bracha is always on an action. So the bracha is, if you tell me that I already fulfilled it, so that's all over. It's history. I shouldn't be able to make a bracha anymore. History. But the bracha is clearly on the maisa, it's on the action of bedika. It's over lasioso, it's before the action of bedika. So the bracha is going on the bedika, which is coming in the future. So is it, so what does it mean? Is it because it's going on the past? Is that, and anyways, if it really is because it's going on the past, shouldn't this have been together with the lulav thing? Right? And there's three exceptions here. The lulav exception, which he sets in his rule, and whenever it's on the past, you say, ah. Then he has another exception of these rishus things, optional things. And then he has this thing about biyachametz. Right? Now if you can tell me that's because it's going on the past, then put it together the lulav. And that's one problem. And anyways, it's hard to say it's going on the past because it's on an action.
Well,
you don't make a bracha
it's
on
this
day.
So
you'll say it's like you already fulfilled the mitzvah. So you say the bracha is going on.
Then you shouldn't be able to say the bracha at all.
You shouldn't say the bracha at all if you're already yotzei. Right. If you really fulfilled it, you shouldn't be doing it at all. And anyways, it's not so simple. I mean, this he's claiming this, that once you think to do it, then you fulfill the mitzvah, but it's just not really true. I mean, it's not simple. We have to look. He says, he tells you to look there. So, I mean, we'll have to look there when time comes. We'll have to look there. I mean, it's not so simple. But, I mean, it's not so simple. I mean, is that yotzei the mitzvah, what, when you think? I mean, you do bedika, and you do bior. Now you say, you do, you know, we do bedika, we do betel. Now you're saying there's another stage of when you think. Where is that? So I mean, you'll see. We'll get to that. We have to look at those halachas now. Okay. So that's that basically should keep us busy for a little while, right? So another problem is the Ravid brings up a few problems. One bracha is according to Rambam, what bracha should you say in Megillah? If you read the Megillah for yourself, what bracha should you say? Le, right? But you don't. You say Al. Okay? You say Al. Okay, another problem is what you say on Matzah and Maror. Le, but the Rambam says you say Al. Let's say you put an Erev, okay, an Erev Tavshilin for yourself.
Le.
You should say Le. But the Rambam says Al. Okay, so there are problems. Okay, there are problems that are around. So I mean, those are different types of problems. I mean, I don't hope to get to those until we get, you know, until we get things going here a little bit more. But there are problems. There are big problems. Okay. Also, the father does pidyon haben for his son. I think also he says Al. Should say like. I mean, you could say Erev Tavshilin is a Rishas.
That's only relevant when you... Okay.
So you could say it's Rishas, because that's Goshen, it's not in a Chova, but it's like Shlita and like those things. So you could say that, but what about Erev... So what's he talking about where he talked about Erev before? Right? When he talked about Erev, so you'll say Erev Chatzeros. Is Erev Chatzeros a Rishas? Erev Chatzeros is a Rishas, then you should... right?
When did he mention Erev last time?
When he said the things that you do for yourself and for others. Do for yourself and for others... Then you say Leh, and he said Erev. So that's what gets into which kind of Erev he's talking about.
Well,
we have to go through different kinds of Erevs, and we're going to have to do that. We have to get into them. So again, I'd say it's for Monday. I think Monday should, or whenever, the next time we go, should be Monday. I guess we should start off with trying to get to understand his theory with Yerav through Yadalad. I mean, the problems come about in Tesvav. Tesvav is really things get a little sticky. But in Yadalad, Yudbez, and Gimel, it's pretty straightforward. But I'd say is Yadalit is where things get a little bit more complicated, but I guess to understand Yadalit through using the Yadalit. Okay? So that should keep us busy for a day, I would think. And then I guess we have to work our way into the problems of Tesvav. Okay, if you understand this, for each of these problems, we're going to end up turning to these pages in the Rambam, and so we have to go into these areas a little bit. We have to go into the area of the Chameit. We have to go into the area of Lulav a little bit. Shrita, maybe. I mean, we have to look into these things a little bit. Okay, so that's where it's going to get interesting. I mean, maybe we'll look into Megillah. I mean, we'll see. I mean, there's an era of it for what these different era of things are. Right? I mean, for now, I'd say leave the era of... I guess for now, assume we're talking about mitzvah's era. I mean, era of, here's just what do you assume? If you want to work on Yadal, you may have to know what he's talking about. So let's assume. I'm going to assume. I think this way I'm going to learn it, Dan. Let's talk about era of Chatzeros. Era of Chatzeros means it's like what we call an era. You have a bunch of people... or living in one courtyard or in a street, and you put a piece of matzah or a box of bread or whatever, matzah, on behalf of the entire community. Okay, because in so far as you have, the basic idea of an Erev is if you have a courtyard or a street which is being used by a lot of people, so you're not allowed to carry in it, unless you all get together and chip in on this box of matzah or whatever. So in the shul, they have a box of matzah for the whole community. That's the Erev. Part of the Erev, people don't know about it. People think the Erev is the wire. The wire is true, it's there, but the Erev is the matzah, which they have on behalf of everybody. So the Erev is, you can't make an Erev for yourself. If you're by yourself, you don't make an Erev. You may need a wire, but you don't need an Erev. An Erev is this matzah, which is a ma'arev. The Erev means to join. You're joining me and you and all the people who live here. So Erev, by definition, involves other people. Involves you and others. So you can't make an Erev for yourself. So that's why I think it says, therefore you make al mitzvahs Erev, meaning you're always doing Erev for you and for others. Okay, and he's saying it's kind of like optional. It's kind of optional because you don't have to absolutely make an Erev. You don't have to carry. Who said you have to make a carry? Who said you have to have this thing, right? Who said you have to even have the, you know, have a courtyard? So it's not 100%. You have to buy a courtyard in order to do an Erev. So that's optional. So therefore, you do it for you and for others, you say Al. But if it's mandatory and do it for you and for others, then you say Le. So that's the main question. What's that all? What's the logic to that? Okay? So that's, I mean, again, I may have overwhelmed you with the problems, but that's the one problem which is, which take up, and that's, you know, it's a nice bite-sized problem, and hopefully we'll work on that next time.